Friends, I told you this a few years ago. In fact, it was April 21st, 2019. But it seemed that you didn't believe me. This being Easter, our leadership team met and decided that we should get a really special speaker for Easter. Someone said, why don't we call the best preacher in the world and ask him to speak? And they did, but he said no. So they said, well, if we can't get the best speaker, let's get the smartest one. So they called him and he said no. And then they said, well, if we can't get the best or we can't get the smartest, we should get the best looking. So they called him and he said, no. And then one of the leaders said, well, then we can always ask our pastor. So they did. And what could I say? I already said no 3 times. Praise the Lord. Amen. It was June 18th, 1815, at the Battle of Waterloo. The French, under the command of Napoleon, was fighting the Allied forces of the British, the Belgians, the Dutch, and the Germans under the command of the Duke of Wellington. The people of England depended on a system where the battle was going. And one of the signals was on the tower. The whole country was sad, friends, and gloomy when they heard that their country had lost the war. And suddenly, the fog lifted, and the remainder of the message was read. This message had 4 words, not 2. The complete message was, Wellington defeated the enemy. Amen. All right. It took a few minutes for good news to spread throughout the country. Sorrow was turned into joy, and defeat was turned into victory. Friends, so it was when Jesus died and was laid in the tomb. Hope had died in the heart of his most loyal friends. After the horrific crucifixion, the fog of disappointment and misunderstanding crept into the hearts of the friends of Jesus. They had only read part of the message. Christ defeated. That's all they knew. But on the third day, friends, the fog of disappointment and misunderstanding lifted, and now the world received the complete message. Christ defeated death. Amen. Yes, man. Praise the Lord. Defeat was turned into victory. Death was turned into life. Friends, there has never been another who was the victim of the Roman cross, but the victor of the Jewish grave. There never has been another. I was reading about the stations of the cross. You know what's the stations of the crosses? Lots of churches do that. It's a group of 14 pictures or carvings that are spread all out. And they all tell that it's a path that leads to Jesus's final hours. And so it starts with a picture of, I think, when Jesus is on trial. And then there's another picture of being beaten up, and another picture of him carrying the cross. In fact, when he falls, there's another picture, and that right up to the crucifixion and that. That is the stations of the cross. Every year, thousands of people climb a mountain in the Italian Alps, passing the stations of the cross, and they come to stand in an outdoor crucifix. One tourist noticed that beyond the cross was a little trail. He fought through the dense bushes, and to his surprise, he came to another shrine, a shrine that symbolized the empty tomb. It was neglected. The bush had grown up around it. Almost everyone had gone as far as the cross, but stopped there. Friends, too many have gotten to the cross and have known the despair and heartbreak of the cross. Far too few have moved beyond the cross to find the real message of Easter. That is that the tomb is empty and Christ has risen. Friends, every Christmas we gather in amazement that Jesus would leave the splendor of heaven and come to our little planet, become a human being, and experience life on earth. And then a few months into the year, we gather on Good Friday in humble amazement that Jesus would die on the cross for our sins, that he would take the punishment we deserve, that he came to pay the debt he didn't owe because we owed the debt we couldn't pay. And then we come to this day, Easter Sunday, or as we prefer to call it, Resurrection Sunday, to the climax, to the highest point, to the culmination of Jesus's ministry. And now we celebrate not just that Jesus came to the earth, not merely that he died, but that he rose from the dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the excitement of Christianity. This is the uniqueness of our faith. And as the hymn writer says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. Why? He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me, how do you know he lives? He lives within my heart. You got it? Praise the Lord. Let's look at our text this morning. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 to 10. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, another version's gospel says it was the mother of James, another version says it was also Salome with them, they came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples. Mark is the only gospel writer that says, go and tell the disciples and Peter. You'll know why one day when I share about that. Right? Go and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they shall see me. I love the words that the angel said in verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen. Yes, friends, Christ is risen indeed. The disciples had gone through the time of despair and seeming defeat as they watched Jesus endure pain and suffering and death on the cross. They had watched his body taken down from the cross and laid into the tomb. They watched as the stone rolled into place to seal the tomb. And at that moment, all their hopes disappeared. But friends, listen. Calvary was not God's final word. Calvary was not God's final word. In our text, we read that on the first Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, the earth began to shake with great violence. The angel descended. The men felt like they were dead. And he sent a message to the woman who had gathered there. A message that they were to share with the disciples and a message for us today. The message is that Jesus has risen just as he said, that Jesus is alive. Praise the Lord. That truth, friends, is what we celebrate this Easter. That truth is why we can gather in joyous celebration with hope and peace in our heart. This truth is the very reason the church gathers on Sunday to this very day. We gather on Sundays, the day of the week Jesus was resurrected, to remind us that we do not gather to pay homage to a dead founder, but we gather, friends, to celebrate the living Lord. Now you know why. Praise the Lord. But how does this miracle that happened 2,000 years ago affect my life and your life? In other words, what is the significance of the resurrection of Jesus? What do you see in the resurrection? And I want to suggest four things. First, we see that, friends, there is love in the resurrection. 1 John 4, verse 9 says, In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Some of you are thinking of John 3, verse 16. Come on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, so that the world may live through him. The love of God, friends, did not only send Jesus to the cross. The love of God did not just leave Jesus in the tomb and us in despair. But the love of God raised Jesus back to life. And as John writes, so that we might live through him. That's why, friend. So that we might live through him. And as the resurrection, in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, love overcomes death. The love in the resurrection not just expresses, friends, the love God has for us, but it overflows from us to others. Listen what 1 John 3 verse 14 says. We know that we have passed from death to life. Wow, how? Because we love the brethren. I like how the New Living Translation says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brothers and sisters. Friends, Jesus prayed that the world will know that we are his disciples by the depth of our love for one another. As we look around the world, I think it's love that we need the most. Hey? Love is perhaps the deepest longing in our hearts, and we see it in the resurrection. Secondly, we see that there is life in the resurrection. Amen. Have you noticed what's happening in the world today? The message that we have been hearing are voices of hopelessness and despair. There is terrorism and natural disasters with loss of life. Armies are engaged in prolonged war. There are diseases for which we have no cures. There's problems in the home. Children are being abused. There's domestic violence. There is unemployment. There's homelessness and so on. This is encouraging because we see death all around us. But don't despair, friends. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and that more abundantly. In other words, I have come to show you how to live, how to bring you hope and joy and peace and love, and to give you a reason for living. For there is life, there is victory, all because Jesus rose from the dead. Romans 6, verse 4 and 5 says, Paul says, therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Friends, we will be united with Christ in his resurrection. Do you know the resurrection life? Come on. Do you know the resurrection life? Romans 8 verse 11, Paul says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Isn't that wonderful? God freely, friends, God freely offers to us new life and a chance to participate with Jesus in the life that comes through resurrection. Jesus is alive today. He is here and he brings with him the gift of life. I'm talking about eternal life. Amen. Thirdly, we see in the resurrection that there is hope. We saw there is love. We saw there is light, life. And now I want to say there is hope in the resurrection. We have hope because Jesus rose from the dead. The hymn writer says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because he lives. I love the line in the hymn that says, I can face uncertain days because he lives. That just screams hope to me, friends. We have hope, friends. The resurrection gives us hope for today, hope for tomorrow, hope for eternity. Hope that even when death comes, that is not the end. People generally have a fear of death. It seems so final, so horrible, so unavoidable. But Jesus' resurrection takes away fear. Hebrews 2 verse 15 says that Jesus came to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. We know that because Jesus lives today, friend, we too can live with him. This hope affects how we live and how we die. Rodney Stark was a sociologist at the University of Washington. He points out that when a major pandemic hit the ancient Roman Empire, Christians had surprisingly high survival rates. Why? Most Roman citizens would banish any plague-stricken person from their household, throw them into the street. But because Christians had no fear of death, they would nurse their sick instead of throwing them out on the street. Therefore, many Christians survived the plague. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I've said this in the past, that in the original Greek, there are no prepositions. In other words, Paul was saying, for me to live, Christ, to die, gain. To die gain. Any which way we win. Amen. Any which way we win. We put our faith in the risen Lord who promised that he who believes in me will live even though he dies. Because he lives, we know that death is not the end. It's the beginning, friends, of eternity. A missionary in Brazil discovered a primitive tribe in a remote part of the jungle. They lived near a large river. The tribe was in need of medical attention. A contagious disease was ravaging the population. People were dying daily. But across the river, there was a beautiful hospital, not far. But the tribe did not cross the river because they believed it was inhabited by evil spirits. To enter the water would mean certain death. The missionary explained how he had crossed the river and was unharmed, but they were not impressed. He then took them to the bank of the river, put his hand in the water, still they wouldn't go in. He walked into the water as far as his waist. He started splashing around and throwing water on his face. It didn't matter. They were still afraid to go into the water. Finally, the missionary dove into the river, swam beneath the surface until he emerged on the other side. He punched triumphant fist into the air. He had entered the water and escaped the so-called evil spirits. And it was then that the people broke out into cheer and followed him across. Friends, that is what Jesus did for us with death. He entered it. He made it safely to the other side. He punched a triumphant fist into the air. But here's the thing. He didn't stay there. He came to us so that in a time of our death, he takes us by the hand and leads us safely to the other side. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And we have hope, friends. And lastly, there is power in the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 14 says, "And God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." Amen. The same power that raised Christ from the dead will raise us too. That power is here for our daily lives. And God desires that we experience it more deeply. It is here to enable us to have victory over sin. It is here to bring us hope and encouragement. It is here to shine through us to the world around us. It is here to enable us to worship and celebrate. And this morning, friends, it is my prayer that everyone on Zoom, and everyone in the sanctuary, that we know Jesus, who is alive and well, who has risen, friends. That we don't know just about him, that we know him, friends. That you may know the love and the life and the hope and the power of the resurrection. That is the simple message of our faith. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. In conclusion, on February 27th of February, 1991, at the height of Desert Storm, that Ruth Dillow received the sad message from the Pentagon. He stated that her son Clayton Dillow, private first class, had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and was dead. Ruth Dillow later wrote, "I can't believe to describe my grief and shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I wept, For 3 days, I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days, people tried to comfort me to no avail because the loss was too great. But on the third day, she said, after she received a message, the telephone rang. The voice on the other end said, "Mom, it's me, Clayton. I'm alive." Ruth Dillo said, "I couldn't believe it at first. But then I recognized his voice. He really was alive. The message was all a mistake." She said, "I laughed and I cried and I felt like turning cartwheels, all because my son, who I thought was dead, was really alive. I'm sure none of you," she said, "can begin to understand how I feel." To that we say, our dear Ruth Dillo, we can understand how you must have felt. You see, we too experienced the same emotions ourselves when we saw how they nailed Jesus to the cross. We heard his cries of pain, and when he cried out, "I thirst," we listened as he said, "It is finished," and we saw how he bowed his head and said, "Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit." And we watched his body being taken from the cross and put into a borrowed tomb. And then we got the news that on the third day, he rose from the dead. He is alive. He is risen. And he is well. And that is great news, friends. Now we feel like dancing on the ceiling. Now we feel like doing cartwheels, because we serve a risen Savior and he's in the world today. Amen. Come on, we don't serve some inanimate object in your backyard. I can take you to South Africa and I can drive down a road with you and show you in the people's backyards, they've got all kinds of shrines. But listen, the tomb is empty, friends. The tomb is empty. You know why? You say, "Tell us why." Jesus is alive. Amen. Praise the Lord, man. I know Helen said it in the beginning. She must have took a look at my notes. But I want to end and with a little bit more enthusiasm with the ancient Ukrainian Orthodox greeting. I'll start. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yo, man. That sounded so sad, eh? It's like, oh man, we're swallowing our words. We got a sore throat. No, come on, let's do that again now. Now, come on, with a little bit more enthusiasm. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a hymn. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you gave us your only begotten Son. Just because you so loved us, Lord. Thank you that Jesus paid the penalty for the debt we owed. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us, for suffering and then dying. Thank you, Lord, that you today you have risen from the grave, that you are alive and well. And even as we speak, you are with us in all your splendor. We glorify you. We lift up your holy name. Bless everyone from the little baby to the seniors, Lord. Everyone on Zoom, Lord, every family represented there on Zoom. May their entire family be blessed because of their faithfulness to you, because of their love for you, Lord, because they have gathered today to worship you. Bless us all, Lord God. Cause your face to shine upon us and give us favor. And as we leave this place, Lord God, we walk with gratitude in our hearts that we do not serve someone who is still hanging on a cross somewhere, but because we serve a risen Savior and he's in our hearts. Bless you, Lord God. Bless you in Jesus' name.